Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 63 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Michael Greene.
A former Moorhead State employee has been indicted for misusing a university credit card.
An Ashland man was found not guilty in a Moorhead murder trial.
Four people in Rowan County have been indicted on rape charges.
A serial scammer in Lexington has been convicted.
Kentucky's Attorney General announced two drug-related settlements today.
In sports, Moorhead's basketball teams are gearing up for exhibition play next week.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 36 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A former Moorhead State University employee has been indicted for allegedly using a university credit card to purchase more than $167,000 in merchandise, goods, and services. A Rowan County grand jury handed down the 12-count indictment on Friday, which claims 51-year-old Sherry Ward made the fraudulent purchases between December 2017 and July of 2019. Ward served as an academic specialist with the Department of Art and Design. She was hired at the university in 2000. According to the indictment, Ward also used a rubber stamp to forge the signature of a university professor to request transfer of funds from the Moorhead State University Foundation. The transfer amounts varied from just under $500 to more than $11,000 over an 18-month period. She's charged with one count of fraudulent use of a credit card, which is a Class C felony in this case, punishable by up to 15 years in prison. Ward also faces 11 counts of second-degree forgery, which is a Class D felony and punishable by up to 5 years. Ward will appear in Rowan Circuit Court on January 17th for a status hearing.
A jury in Rowan County acquitted an Ashland man of murder and wanton endangerment charges on Monday. 43-year-old Randy Parmley of Ashland was charged in the 2017 shooting death of Kenneth Fulton at the man's home on Leaning Tree Way, just north of the I-64 Farmers Sharkey interchange. Police said Parmley came to Moorhead to confront his wife about why she was at Fulton's home, and attorney Sebastian Joy says it was a clear case of self-defense.
The self-defense laws in our state is pretty clear, and it's very cut and dry, is that you can only use lethal force if you believe that it was about to be used against you. So in this case, my client thought there was a gun. My client thought Mr. Fulton was going for a gun.
Joy says Parmley is sorry for the loss of life and that both he and his wife regret the events that led to Fulton's death.
Four people have been indicted regarding the sexual assault of a minor in Rowan County. The indictments were filed in Rowan Circuit Court last week for 28-year-old Kevin Rich, 54-year-old William Noe, 50-year-old Angela Noe, and 31-year-old Ashley Sabe. The four were arrested last month after police received reports of possible sexual misconduct at a residence on Big Perry Road. Rowan Sheriff's Deputy Donnie Hall made the arrest. He says Rich faces several charges.
He was charged initially with rape third, and due to the statute that's based off of the age difference. And also he was charged with use of a minor in a sexual performance that's pertains to by KRS, types of video clips and still photos. It's one of those other charges.
William and Angela Noe, along with Ashley Sabe, face one count each of complicity to rape in the third degree. All four individuals remain lodged in the Rowan County Detention Center.
A man on the convicted sex offenders list was arrested waiting in the parent pickup line at Valley Elementary School in Pike County Monday. The Pike County Sheriff's Office apprehended 74-year-old Richard Bartley after a Family Resources employee connected the man to the state's sex offender registry. Chief Deputy Lynn Cross tells WYMT they are protecting the students.
And the main goal is obviously to keep the children safe. So this, we feel, is keeping the children safe by putting this sexual offender in jail because they are in violation of their of the law.
No reports involving students on the campus have been reported. Bartley was taken to the Pike County Detention Center.
A serial scammer in Lexington has been found guilty. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
A jury found Sherman Denny guilty of first-degree wanton endangerment and evading police after an incident back in March, where officials say Denny nearly hit an officer with his car while fleeing from a traffic stop. WKYT reports Denny was already incarcerated after pleading guilty to four felony counts of theft by deception. Denny had several run-ins with police while scamming victims. He claimed he was from out of town and forgot his diabetes medication. Formal sentencing for Denny is set for December 13th. The jury recommended a cumulative sentence of 18 years and 6 months. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
A man considered to be a person of interest in the disappearance of a Pulaski County woman is now in jail. Corky Hendricks was booked into the Pulaski County Detention Center Tuesday. Authorities have sought Hendricks for questioning in the May disappearance of Leanna Brumley. Brumley's sister, Faith Duggins, tells WKYT it's been a hard few months for the family.
There's a little boy who's 7 years old who's going every day without his mommy, and that is very hard for him.
Hendricks had also been wanted on charges of cultivation of marijuana and possession of a handgun by a convicted felon. Police say more charges are likely coming.
Former Eastern Kentucky attorney Eric C. Kahn wants to get out of prison. Kahn was sentenced to 27 years last year for Social Security fraud and fleeing abroad to avoid prosecution. After he was captured in a Honduran Pizza Hut and extradited back to the United States, he was ordered to pay millions of dollars in restitution. According to WYMT, on October 8th, Kahn filed a handwritten motion asking federal judges to set aside or correct his sentence. The former attorney claims that his counsel, Scott White, had a conflict of interest on the pre-leaving for Honduras charge, since White was under investigation himself in this particular matter. Kahn also argues that counsel Willis Coffey, who replaced White later in the case, was, quote, ineffective for advising Kahn to plead guilty to escape. Kahn wrote that the escape charge was not relevant because he was not technically in custody when he left the country. Kahn was under house arrest at the time of his disappearance.
A pedestrian received minor injuries early Wednesday morning when he was struck by a pickup truck. Police tell LEX 18 the man was in a crosswalk but did not have the right-of-way in the intersection of Main and Limestone Streets when he was hit around 6 a.m. Authorities said the pickup truck had the green light and that the driver of the pickup did not see the pedestrian in the street when he hit him at low speed. The pedestrian was taken to an area hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, officials said. Police say they do not expect to file any charges against the driver.
Kentucky's Attorney General announced two separate drug-related settlements today. WMKY's Zoe Hall has the story.
Attorney General Annie Beshear says his office has secured a $17 million settlement from a 2013 lawsuit with Bayer Corporation over claims it misled women about risks associated with its birth control drugs, Yasmin and Yaz. Beshear says about $10 million of the settlement will be available for lawmakers to appropriate next year. The rest will go to the state's investigation costs and litigation fees. Beshear also announced a $22.7 million recovery of state and federal Medicaid dollars and a settlement over marketing and promotion of pharmaceuticals used in treating opioid dependence. According to LEX 18, more than $5.3 million will be returned to the state Medicaid program, and the rest will be given to the federal Medicaid program. For WMKY News, I'm Zoe Hall.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. The public is invited to a screening of Love Them First, Lessons from Lucy Laney. Part of the Meet the Maker film series, discussion follows with directors Lindsay Sievert and Ben Garvin. Reception at the Gateway Regional Arts Center begins at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, October 23rd. Support provided by the NEA, South Arts, AA, and Mary Page Fund, and the Southern Circuit Tour of Independent Filmmakers.
The Rowan County Senior High School speech team will be performing a showcase tomorrow. Students will perform humorous and dramatic selections from events they will be competing in this speech season at Coffee Tree Books. Head coach Kim Reeder says this is the first showcase the team has done in several years.
Beach is an activity that is highly entertaining, but is also something that really isn't very accessible for the community because we go to competitions usually out of town, and so it's very hard for the community to kind of understand what it is our students spend so much time and energy working on.
Isaiah Burton, Alex Caudill, Alex Pace, Dakota Perry, Ansley Perryman, Colin Turk, and Grace Welty will be performing. The free showcase will begin at 6 p.m., and donations to assist the team with travel expenses will be accepted. Once again, that will take place at Coffee Tree Books.
A new company called Lime & Spin is bringing electric scooters to Lexington. City leaders approved an ordinance to prevent accidents on the scooters and classifies them as non-motorized vehicles. Attorney Abe Moshney tells WKYT the same rules of a motorized vehicle apply to them.
You can still get a DUI on it. However, it doesn't carry the same penalties as a driving in a vehicle DUI. Will your car insurance cover any type of liability if you were to get in a wreck with the electronic scooter? And the answer to that is, for the most part, no.
Rules include staying off the sidewalks, only riding on the streets, obeying traffic laws, and parking in designated areas. To rent a scooter, you need to download the company's app, and it will help you find a ride, unlock it, and get going.
The Department of Corrections is hiring nearly 200 people after Friday's announcement that the Wheelwright Prison is reopening. Several job fairs are scheduled throughout the area over the next 2 weeks. Tammy Lewright is in charge of recruitment for the Department of Corrections. She tells WYMT experience is not a requirement to apply.
We are so excited to be recruiting in Eastern Kentucky. The work ethic and the passion of the residents of this part of the state is so exciting for the department. We can train you what you need to know. We need people who can be firm, fair, and consistent. That's our motto for our department.
Applications for those positions opened on Friday. At least 370 people have already applied.
Kentucky farmers claim they were ripped off by a hemp company, leaving them out of millions of dollars. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
Farmers have filed a lawsuit against Gincana Global Incorporated. The agricultural business company opened a facility in Winchester in 2014 when the hemp pilot program started in Kentucky. Kendall Henson and Ben Furnish run Fernwood Farms in Harrison County. They signed a contract with Gincana in 2016. In 2019, the agricultural business company approached them with a proposal to expand their operations. Fernwood Farm was ready to accept the deal in February and bring other families into the deal, but contract negotiations stalled. When the contract was sent, Henson and Furnish say the agreement was not like anything they had discussed with the company. Henson and Furnish told LEX 18 they filed a lawsuit against Gincana, claiming Fernwood Farms will lose millions of dollars this year. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Looking at your region's extended weather forecast, tonight mostly clear with a low around 40. Thursday, sunny with a high near 67. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 42. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 63. Friday night, a 20% chance of showers after 10 p.m., cloudy with a low around 46. Saturday, showers likely with a high near 60. Looking at current temperatures, 63 in Inez and Mount Sterling, 64 in Lexington, Ashland, and Grayson, 65 in Winchester, and here in Moorhead, it's 63 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the recent fires in the Daniel Boone National Forest led to a new archaeological find. After 13 wildfires burned 645 acres in the Daniel Boone National Forest, archaeologists unearthed a silver lining when they discovered a new archaeological material. Kristen Embry is an AD archaeologist sponsored with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. She says the find was uncovered near fire suppression lines, which are created by digging trenches through the forest with bulldozers.
My job is to walk any of that ground disturbance area so the bulldozer line, to inspect to see if cultural resources are found in the line. So that might be an artifact. We're also looking outside of the line, so anything that's really close to the line that might show evidence of human occupation.
Embry found evidence of human-made stone tools and investigated a nearby rock shelter, which is where the evidence probably originated.
So when someone makes a stone tool, and we know this from modern people replicating stone tools, making, you know, say an arrowhead, you know, what we call arrowheads, what archaeologists call projectile points. But you make a lot of little bits and pieces of stone that come off what we call debitage or trash. I mean, it's the leftovers. Someone was in that rock shelter or around that rock shelter making a stone tool out of this quartzite material, which is likely not local.
Unfortunately, the rock shelter had already been looted, but the fire archaeologist who examined the site determined it could still contain important information. Wayna Adams is a forest archaeologist with the U.S. Forest Service. She says a lot of finds in the federal forest have busted the myth that many Kentuckians believe.
Growing up in Kentucky, many of us are taught in school that Native Americans didn't live here. And so that's part of the reason it's such a pervasive idea here in Kentucky. What we can say based on, about 50 or 60 years of archaeology in Kentucky is that there's well over 10,000 years of evidence that Native Americans did live all over Kentucky, mm-hmm. just like they lived all over North America.
In fact, Adam says the oldest carbon data on the archaeological finds from Kentucky is over 14,000 years old.
So we know that we had the earliest people, even here in Kentucky. We find changes in their culture. We find changes in the way that they made their spear points, changes from throwing spears to using bows and arrows, development of ceramics, changes in where they chose to live, eventually moving to palisaded villages in river bottoms and growing crops, growing corn, growing beans, growing squash.
Native village sites can be found across Kentucky until about 1600, when the number of sites found drastically began to decrease.
But we can say for sure that that's about when you have the Spanish pushing up. We now have a Spanish presence in West Virginia in the 1500s. That's been something that was found in the last 10 years. Of course, we've all known about the English over at Jamestown by 1600s. And so, you know, clearly there were major shifts occurring right around the same time that we see that decline in Native American villages in Kentucky.
Federal lands are protected, and those archaeologists hope that visitors to the National Forest will take only pictures and leave only footprints.
Taking things, digging in sites, digging in rock shelters is punishable by jail time and serious fines. And our law enforcement folks are very keen on catching those folks. So we ask people to leave things intact on the forest.
For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 448 and 63 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Michael Green and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Jonathan Burton has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Morehead's basketball teams are gearing up for the 2019-20 season. For WMKY Sports, I'm Jonathan Burton. Morehead State senior guard Jordan Walker has been tapped to the preseason All-OVC team. The second returning point scorer in the league, Walker averaged nearly 16 points a game last season, along with 2.6 assists. Still, Walker says he's expecting even bigger things from himself and the team this year.
I believe we're light years from like our last few years just because of the experience and through the trouble we had in the last couple years, it really made us more of a stronger core coming from us too as a seniors. And our expectation level now is very higher than in the last 2 years.
Morehead State begins its 2019-20 season Tuesday when they host Kentucky Christian for an exhibition game at 7 o'clock. The regular season gets underway November 5th at home against Samford. On the other end of things, the Morehead State University women's basketball team will have a younger squad this season, but the team says that won't be a problem. Head coach Greg Todd says the shift on the team has actually brought a lot of excitement to the players as they step up into larger roles. And while Coach Todd says he's not entirely on that level, this season will be a true test for the team moving forward.
Not quite as much as they are, but it does bring definitely a lot of enthusiasm to compete every day, and with some of the new players that we have coming in, I think it's been good that we have a lot of open spots, and we really will not know until we probably get into non-conference.
Play for the Morehead State women's basketball team gets underway November 1st when they host Hillsdale for an exhibition game. Setting out to complete the most successful fall schedule in 19 seasons, Morehead State men's golf did just that Tuesday, claiming the team's fifth top five finish of the season. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
The Eagles tied the 1999-2000 team with its fifth top five of the fall schedule, doing so in one fewer event than the Millennium Group. Senior Cooper Collins led Morehead State throughout the Musketeer Classic, walking away with his second and first outright career victory. As a team, Morehead State finished the Musketeer Classic tied for third, claiming the team's fourth top three finish of the fall. The Eagles fashioned scores of 288, 293, 292, 873, jumping up three spots on the leaderboard during Tuesday's final round. With the conclusion of the Musketeer Classic, Morehead State concludes its fall schedule. Morehead State returns to the course in mid-February at the George Washington President's Day matchup play event. The two-day event tees off from Weston Hills Country Club in Weston, Florida on February 17th and 18th. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
The boys and girls soccer teams at one Eastern Kentucky high school are having newfound postseason success. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
For the first time in school history, both the boys and girls soccer teams at Prestonsburg High School won districts and qualified for the state tournament. After winning their semi-state games in Lexington on Tuesday night, LEX18 reports both teams now advance to the quarterfinals. Part of what's so special about the team's success this season is the family connection, which is also a first. The boys team is coached by Brad Burchett, while the girls team is coached by his brother Paul Burchett. The boys' team is led by Brad's son, Matt Burchett, who is the 2019 15th Region Player of the Year and also is 6th in the state of Kentucky in assists. The girls' team is led by Paul's freshman daughter, Anna Burchett, who is the leading scorer in the state of Kentucky this season, and his senior daughter, Beth Burchett, who was an All-State selection in 2018. Both teams will play in the quarterfinals this weekend. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
Game 2 of the Majuro League Baseball World Series is set to take place in Houston this evening. The Washington Nationals led the series currently after picking up Game 1 last night 5-4. It was a historic night for the Nationals, extending their postseason win streak to 7 games, and first baseman Ryan Zimmerman becoming the first ever National to hit a home run in the World Series. Bench boss Dave Martinez tells Nationals.com he hasn't been surprised at all by the team's performance.
I never doubt our guys, ever. They come out to play. We have a game plan. They stick with it. You know, sometimes things don't go well, but I believe in those guys in there every single day, and they're going to come out and play and not give up to the last out.
First pitch in Houston tonight is at 8:07. And finally, in sports, an investigation is underway at Bellarmine University after video surfaced on an adult website of women athletes in the locker room. The incident happened while out of state on a road trip at Limestone College in Gaffney, South Carolina. Brian Blanton is a detective with the Gaffney Police Department. He tells Wave 3 News what they know so far.
We haven't discovered anything yet that leads us to believe that anybody from Limestone was involved in the filming or being filmed. Another university was notified by a concerned parent And that's kind of what got the ball rolling, so to speak, and I think that university reached out to Limestone.
Five different women's athletic teams were filmed over the span of a decade. The former athletes have been alerted about the issue, and the videos have been removed from the adult website after they were notified on October 16th. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Jonathan Burton.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball is home this weekend, hosting Eastern Illinois at 6 p.m. on Friday and SIUE at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Men's basketball opens their season hosting Kentucky Christian University at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, October 29th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose slightly as investors digested earnings reports from Caterpillar and Boeing, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 45.85 at 26,833.95. The S&P 500 was up 8.53 at 3,004.52, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 15.5 at 8,119.79. Wednesday's move nudged the S&P 500 closer to the record that it set in July, as the index is now less than 1% from that record closing level. Caterpillar said it earned $2.66 a share in the third quarter versus consensus estimates of $2.88. The company, or I should say the stock, was very weak in the pre-market, dropping more than 6%, but it did rally during regular trading and actually finished the day's trading up 1.2%. Boeing shares climbed 1% after the airplane maker said it will stick to its timeline for the return of the 737 MAX. That was enough to offset earnings that badly missed analyst expectations. The company reported profits of $1.45 a share. Going into the report, the consensus was they would earn $2.09 a share. Weak results from Texas Instruments kept chip stocks down today, with TI, often seen as a proxy for the microchip industry, plunging 7.5% after posting fourth quarter guidance that was well below market estimates. Texas Instruments losses obviously affected the broader chipmaker space. The VanVector Semiconductor ETF slid 1.7%. Qualcomm was down 1.6%, while ON Semiconductor dropped 3.6%. The earnings season so far is going well for the most part of the S&P 500 companies that have reported through this morning. 81% have actually posted better than expected results. In Europe, UK lawmakers voted in favor of Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit plan, but rejected his attempt to fast-track legislation to take the country out of the EU by the end of the month. The Prime Minister said the next step would be to wait for the EU to respond to a request to delay the current Brexit deadline of October 31. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.5% at $55.83 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,494.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a fair day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.8%. Most Asian markets were down, with the Shanghai down 0.4% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.8%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 7 cents at $56.58, Delta Airlines down 43 cents at $53.81, Lowe's down 95 cents at a $111.52, Marathon Petroleum up 71 cents at $65.89, and Anthem was up 327 to finish at $263.52. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Shamari Mosley, Nacogdoches Miller, Keneally Roberts, Zoe Hall, Cody Robinson, Jonathan Burton, Lori Likens, and Sarah Mead. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from me and the folks with the National Forest Service. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Michael Green and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.